Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine Thursday afternoon, September 5th, 2013. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first segment of the program today, as she does each and every Thursday afternoon. But first, we're going to get to the market reports. Oh, what a beautiful day here in central Pennsylvania, Al. Just absolutely gorgeous.
Does that mean the groundhog is out looking at his shadow or something like that?
Not yet, not yet. Beautiful, beautiful day. We actually have blue sky, actual blue sky, and not gray. Gold was a little gray today, down $22 at $1,369, another pullback in gold and silver today, silver being down 23 cents at $23.33. Platinum is down $11 at $14.88, along with palladium down 10 at $691. All of them have had a reversal from the lows of the day. And we'll be talking about gold in a little bit. How far is gold up for the past 30 days? It's still doing pretty good. But we'll be talking about that going into our second segment of the day. USDX today up strong, 0.46 at 82.62. Crude oil up a dollar at 108.32. And the paper markets today, the promise to pay market, the promise to pay market. The Dow was up 6 points at 14,937. The NASDAQ up 9 at 36.58. The S&P up 2 at 16.55. And, of course, all everyone's going to hear is, oh, the stocks were higher for a third straight day. Woo-hoo! 10-year yield, that's getting mighty close to 3%, 2.98 today, up 0.08. So a lot of loss in the value of those 10-year bonds as we're approaching the 3. And again, once we bump up over that 3%, many predictions that history will be written again. But we'll see 3.4, 3.5, somewhere around 3.3 is, I think, once we'll start getting into much more trouble than we are today. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call. Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Great prices, great shipping, and great people here at Discount Gold and Silver. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. What time does Wendy get here?
She should be here now.
Ah, I thought maybe she was going to be late today. Wendy, are you here on time today?
I'm here, Al. Hi, Melody. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
All right.
All right. Did you have something you wanted to start with, or I've got some questions here we can run with, Melody? What do you want, or Wendy? Excuse me. For example, here's one on radiotherapy causes cancer, but blueberry kills it. Care to comment on blueberries?
Well,
blueberry isolate, terastibling functions as a potential anti-cancer stem cell agent and suppressing irradiation mediated enrichment of hepatoma stem cells. This is according to researchers. Anyone want to get that?
I don't doubt it. Blueberries are awesome. Great nutrition in the blueberries. They're wonderful for improving vision and lots of benefits. So I don't doubt that it would be helpful at helping the body fight back against that.
If in terms of improving vision, how likely is it that blueberries are going to accomplish that objective? Do you have to eat blueberries for 5 years before you see a noticeable improvement? How quickly can you expect to see an improvement in vision?
Well, I noticed an improvement in vision doing some dietary tweaking, if you will. All the berries, your raspberries, your blueberries, all going to have some wonderful nutrition and essential oils that help the body, and especially the eyes, because the eyes have very small vessels. And so the nutrition in the blueberries helps get those small capillaries and vessels in the eye. And especially if you're a tea drinker, you know, the black tea, you know, the Tetley or the Louisiana, you know, iced tea, hot tea, whatever. If you drink a lot of tea, the tannic acids affect the eyes and vision, and can even create a situation called dry eye. So you've got those commercials for Lestesis, you know, the prescription eye drops, which, you know, cause all kinds of problems, side effects, when you probably just need to stop drinking iced tea.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I don't drink much tea. It's very seldom. I do drink some chai green tea once in a while.
No, green tea's fine. Green tea's, you know, the antioxidants in green tea don't do the same, don't have those tannic acids like the other teas do. And you got to be really careful, because I think now the tea leaves may be upon the threat horizon of becoming GMO, and God knows what they'll do then. I know we're just about to lose oranges. Did you hear about that? With the GMO?
Yeah, I've heard they're going to start making genetically modified oranges. And what will these new genetically modified oranges do that's so advantageous? I mean, there's got to be a reason for it. We're going to do it, and supposedly it's going to be an improvement. In fact, it allows them to patent the oranges and control the market, generate more profits for themselves. It's really not about delivering a better product, in my opinion, but what do you think about it?
Well, I know the excuse they're given is to fight off the lice that tend to attack the fruit tree and make the oranges, you know, not turn orange, but stay green. Nobody wants a green orange. So it kind of hastens the development of the fruit. And so they say they've been battling this, you know, orange tree lice, if you will, since 2005. And they haven't been able to overcome it, so now they've turn to the biotechnology field to help them. And I don't know. I think if people knew their orange juice was genetically modified with a synthetic gene agent, not an organic one, and maybe have genes from pigs and other things in there, I don't think they'd be buying it.
Well, you know, there are people, Muslims, for example, strict Jews, don't want to eat any pork.
Right.
I wonder how this relates to pig genes, and it's not the first time. There are other products where they've used pig genes in certain products, and I wonder, does that raise any cause for concern among the Muslims and the Jews? Are they wary about this, or are they just ignored? It's only one gene. It's not the same thing as pork. Do you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess it's all on who you ask, because even if you think about it, not this year, but the prior years, it was swine flu in the vaccine, right? So you got to wonder about that. Yeah, you got to wonder if they were lining up for that or not. But yeah, I mean, I don't have an overall answer.
I mean, we can work with bird flu and not affect anyone's religion, so far as I know. But swine flu may have religious implications.
Yeah,
what a world! What a world!
Might.
I got another one here.
Okay.
The fattening of America, is water fluoridation to blame? As more information comes to light about fluoride poisoning connections between the chemical and weight gain, garnering attention. A known suppressor of the thyroid gland, fluoride is a major player in the rampant increase of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
But the toxicity of fluoride. All right, go ahead. What do you think?
I don't doubt it because we've, you know, I've just been doing some research. I'm writing a few articles now, and one is on, you know, calcium and how it improves lifespan for women, and it also has to do with weight loss. So we can touch on that in a minute. But also on the cumulative effects of all the chemicals and toxicity that we come in contact, they really don't know what certain chemical interactions will cause. They just know that it's probably responsible for a lot of diseases. Now, you've mentioned the neurotransmitter fluoride. No doubt it would affect glands as well as, you know, the neurotransmitters in your brain, because that's what it is. It's to make people docile, you know, to make them controllable. And it seems to be working. What do you think?
Well, I don't have an opinion on that. I've lost my capacity to issue opinions after drinking a glass of water. So I don't know. What do you think? It's what is the advantage of fluoride? It allegedly helps your teeth. That's debatable. Perhaps even absolutely false. I've seen reports that indicate fluoride causes your teeth to become more brittle.
Right.
So it's not helping our teeth. Why are we consuming fluoride?
Well, the thing is a lot of people don't think about your tooth. If you look at a tooth, you know, really close up and under a microscope, it's very porous. The dentin or the hard covering on the teeth is, you know, it looks like Swiss cheese under a microscope. So all this stuff can penetrate, get into the root and the pulp of the tooth. Probably why we got issues with a lot of root canals, you know. But it does seep into the bloodstream and the jawline, through the jawbone. And so just wherever your genetic weakest link is, that's where this stuff's going to, you know, take hold of you and you're going to be more vulnerable to. So, I just say if it's not natural, if it's not what, you know, our creator intended, I probably wouldn't use it.
I've seen reports that the poison gas that was allegedly used in Syria recently consisted of, at least in part, sodium fluoride. Same stuff they're putting in our drinking water, and that was allegedly at least one of the components in the poison gas over in Syria.
Yeah, I think they were speculating. Somebody here provided that ingredient or something.
I understand. Nazis allegedly used fluoride to control Jews and other prisoners during World War II, and here we are. Our country puts it in our drinking water almost any place you live. What sort of reaction are we seeing from the American people right now? Is there any significant resistance to using fluoride?
Well, I think more people are becoming aware that it's a toxin, it's a toxic agent, just like any petrochemical, you know, prescription product. And so I think they're kind of looking at it that way now. When you start looking at it that way, not as something that's so, you know, safe and effective for, you know, helping dental health. I think they're looking at it more as a petrochemical agent, and then they're asking, okay, so what does it do? And the townships across the United States, there have been, you know, like a half a dozen or so that have just, you know, the city councils have gotten together and basically brought on a lot of it by budgetary problems where they can't afford the additive anymore. It costs too much money. In some towns, it's well over $200,000 a year to add fluoride to the drinking water supply. So they were slashing the budget. So they voted to slash fluoride, and the people were just like applauding them You know, they thought it was a good idea.
I understand.
Yeah, and so I think some of these towns came under pressure later from other sources. I don't know if they were government or pharmaceutical, but some of those.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, and some of those councils had to reverse their ruling and had to add the fluoride back into their water. So I don't know what kind of pressure they were under, but yes, there's a few though that are standing their ground, and I applaud them all.
Well, I do too. You wanted to talk about calcium.
Right. You know, we've got, you know, osteoporosis in this country, and, you know, people more, you know, we consume like 20 billion gallons of dairy products just in the United States in the form of, you know, milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, whatever. And osteoporosis is still a problem. And so they did a study in Canada, Al, a study basically at McGill University in Montreal, and it was like a 12-year thing where they studied osteoporosis patients from 95 to 2007. Over 9,000 people were in the study, men and women, and what they found was the participants who regularly took a calcium supplement on a daily basis of, let's say, 1,000 milligrams a day, they weren't dying as early as the participants that took no calcium. And when they checked into it, the 13% of the people that died during the study all had low calcium levels, below normal. And so they also noticed that the extra calcium to help the women out to live longer and reduce their risk of, you know, stroke, cardiac events, and so forth, it didn't have that same effect in men for some reason. So it was just an interesting study. They also noted some of the prior studies where they were stating, like, I think Iowa's Women Health Study and the one that was through the Women's Health Initiative. They said that, you know, calcium and too much calcium is detrimental. It can kill you. But you got to look at the type of calcium they used in the study. They weren't using a whole food-based calcium source. They were using things like, you know, shells, you know, calcium from seashells. They were using calcium from rock formations. So they weren't using a plant-based calcium, which is what our body prefers. And so that can give you toxicity, because when you use those other types of sources, you can get lead and some other things in there that aren't going to be real good for you. So and the other thing that they noticed is when you get calcium in a whole food source, it helps accelerate weight loss. So there's lots of things that do that are natural, like turmeric, but you have to layer your turmeric with a mega fatty type of food like coconut oil. Okay?
Is that right?
Yeah, because the turmeric won't be absorbed into the small intestine to help with the weight loss, which is, you know, just tends to suppress appetite. You just don't feel hungry. So if you layer it with, like, coconut oil or some sort of, or put it on your salmon, you know, it'll just work 10 times better at helping you with the cravings. University of Tennessee conducted that calcium study on weight loss, and it was an awesome study.
Well, the one thing about calcium, I've heard we have to have it in balance with magnesium, for example, and maybe other minerals.
Right.
When your study indicates people that are short on calcium tend to die earlier, would the study indicate the same thing if they were short on magnesium or short on any one of a number of other minerals?
Right.
Would you get a similar result? Or
right.
Is it just calcium we have to be concerned about?
Exactly. Very good question, because it is true that our body's kind of picky on how it taps into and utilizes, metabolizes, and absorbs the calcium so they can put it in the proper places, you know, like bones, muscle, connective tissue, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So our body prefers two parts calcium to one part boron and one part magnesium. And when you look at your fruits and vegetables and some of your herb plants, that ratio is already there. It's already done for you. So if you look at a real orange, Al, not a genetically modified one, you'll see that ratio. It's just perfect. So our creator, God, did that. And so we really don't have to fix that. That's already perfect. And trying to second-guess it and all this and that, I think it's ridiculous. So if you use a whole food plant-based calcium source, you're going to get the right amount of calcium.
All right, Wendy, we are out of time. We're going to have to take a break for some commercials. Before we do, give people some contact information for the Apothecary Herbs Shop located at thepowerherbs.com.
Absolutely.
What else do they
Thanks.
Need to know? Well, give us, what's your phone number?
Yeah, they can call us toll-free if they want to catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. That's 24/7 number. Thanks, Al.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Melody.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And now I'll turn it over to Melody and see what she's got for you.
Well, we just have some great prices on our products. We have the 1 ounce silver Eagles, 90% silver quarters, Morgan's silver dollars. We have both the 1921 Morgans and the pre-1921 Morgans. And our product is very nice when it comes to our Morgan silver dollars. The dates are nice and crisp. The rims are nice and crisp. Yes, they are circulated, but a very nice product for the price that you pay. Good quality here at Discount Gold and Silver. We've got gold eagles, Canadian maple leaves, and of course our mint state coins, our $20 gold pieces. And for great bartering coins, I like the $5 Liberty gold piece or the quarter ounce gold eagle. They're great, great bartering coins. My favorite, though, is the $5 Liberty. It not only gives you a great value in the gold, you get almost a quarter ounce of gold, but it's also semi-numismatic, so you have a great performance opportunity. Privacy and protection comes in that little coin. So it does a lot for you in the price that you pay. But they have to pick up the telephone and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We will match or beat any legitimate price from a competitor. So just give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to give you a regular price. And of course, volume, we do have volume discounts, and our highest shipping cost is $40. And of course, on larger orders, we do include shipping at no cost to the client. So we do a very good job here at Discount Gold and Silver. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We are here to help folks get positioned in their portfolios, get their retirement accounts insured, so that if anything should happen, and we have we have various information today in relationship to pension funds, I believe out of Poland.
Yep.
Another example of how government is going after pension funds. And as long as these countries, these governments are in debt, and they can't pay it, and there's funds just sitting there, well, it's up for the taking. So you might get some of it, but you certainly won't get all of it. So get it insured. I mean, it's just amazing with everything that's going on, Al. Yes, the markets, yeah, you have gold down today, $22 at $1,369. Silver's down 23 cents at $23.33. You have a strong U.S. dollar up today, $82.62. Crude oil is still up. None of the numbers make sense. Paper markets, you know, they're just, you know, basically unchanged, you know, from the beginning. They're up a few bucks and so forth. So no really big changes in the paper markets. But Al, these numbers are confusing to people. And I think they're sitting there with their 401s, their retirement plans, their money in the bank, and there hasn't been a lot of change for a pretty good amount of time. There's been some ups and downs, but for the most part, if they're collecting dividends on their accounts, or it's been fairly consistent. Not a lot of shocks to the market lately, and I think they're finding themselves in a comfortable place.
I agree.
I think that comfortable place is a very dangerous place to be. And I think when these markets all unfold, yes, we predict that there's people out there predicting timelines and dates and pricing and everything. But folks, I've always said for a very long time, when it happens, it's going to happen so quick. That product will disappear almost immediately. There will be so many people trying to get into the market, product will disappear. And yes, we can say as the prices rise, people will sell. But you're going to have to weigh that between if you have a collapsing dollar, you have nuclear war going on and everything else. I don't think the price of gold would have to climb. It would have to climb significantly in order for anybody to sell. So, again, product will disappear for a period of time. And everybody's going to want liquidity. That's what you want. You want liquidity. And your paper investments aren't going to give you that. When you have a massive surge of people dumping their paper, you better hope you have a buyer for your paper.
And you better hope there's a market for your
paper. You better have a buyer for
your
paper,
a market. You're not going to be able to sell stock out on a street corner. You will be able to buy things with gold and silver, however. All right? I won't say that it's going to be as easy as walking in with a credit card or a debit card. It won't be what people are used to, but it'll work. But I don't think you're going to find anyone out on the street who's going to be buying your stocks or your bonds except at huge discounts. You might have $100,000 worth of stock, and somebody might be willing to give you $10,000 for it, or maybe $20,000. I don't know. But I don't think you're going to take $100,000 worth of stock in a worst-case scenario and be able to easily convert it into $100,000 worth of groceries, automobiles, homes, whatever. You're going to be you're holding on to paper when the paper goes down, and it's our opinion that it inevitably will. I mean, all the fiat currencies have collapsed over several centuries. They try them, they work for a while, and then they always explode. And we can anticipate, we believe that the same thing's going to happen to the paper dollar. And I think the average fiat currency lasts, I don't know, 40 to 60 years before it blows up. We've had a fiat currency for, since 1971, pure fiat currency. It's been a pure fiat currency domestically since 1968, 32 or 45 years right now, 46, something like that. We are at the point where historically fiat currencies just go down. They collapse. So we think it's going to happen, and if it does, we've warned you persistently for several years now. If you're keeping your assets in the form of paper, if you're preserving your wealth as a paper asset, you are assuming a risk that we don't believe is inherent in gold and silver. And from our perspective, it's sensible, it's prudent, it's common sense. Get yourself some gold, get some silver. What else we got, Melody?
Well, I think what's going to be important is really is hard commodities. And if you don't have it in your hands, folks, you don't own it. Yep. And, yeah, your hard commodities are going to be very important in the future. And, again, if you have to be in those paper markets, protect it with gold and silver. Get that insurance on it. And the money that you play in the paper markets, have it your disposable funds, money that you can afford to lose. That way, you're covered. And that's what it's all about. Be planning and being prepared for worst-case scenarios. And, you know, the day of reckoning is coming. And you just cannot have these things that are happening, these market changes and world changes and $85 billion a month with no reactions to anything.
Well, no reactions in this country. No reactions in this country.
Also, most of your emerging market stock markets. Yeah, you're having problems in China. The BRIC nations are beginning to have problems. India's currency's collapsing, and you know, sure, they're doing everything possible. The same thing that we're doing here. But what shocks? There really haven't been any shocks to any of these systems worldwide for a very long time, and I don't see any shocks, not what I consider a shock. The closest thing that I believe we're coming to a shock now is, you know, what's transpiring over in here and in Syria, and I guess you do have something on the meeting that's happening over there.
Yeah, we've got here's something from Reuters, and this is interesting to me because we've speculated in the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks on the program, that we talked about the $85 billion a month that the Federal Reserve is injecting into the economy. And we've talked about the previous quantitative easing 1, 2, and 3, where major financial institutions, primarily Wall Street financial institutions, have received somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion from the government. And the intent, or the professed intent, was that they would lend that money. The government would give it to the banks, then the banks would lend it to Joe Sixpack, and Joe Sixpack would go out and buy a flat-screen TV, and this would stimulate the economy. Except, as almost everyone's heard who's listening to this program, the banks haven't been lending the money. They took the money from the government, and they've largely sat on it and kept it for themselves. The money, the stimulus program, according to some sources, the banks have set on $1.8 trillion out of $2 trillion they've received. So that stimulus did not reach the American people. The banks just sat on it. That was the report we had. But what we saw and what we heard about in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, something along those lines, is that what may have been happening is that the banks did not simply sit on that money that had been given them by the federal government of the Federal Reserve, but in fact they may have been loaning it to foreign countries. And the reason they loaned it to foreign countries is because our Federal Reserve System had declared that our interest rates in this country were down near to zero. And as a result, you couldn't make any money lending in this country, and the banks didn't. So they took their $1.8 trillion, or some significant portion of it, and loaned it to foreign countries. And this may have been the source of the growth in developing economies, the BRICS and so on, over the course of the last several years. The government's stimulus money ultimately was stimulating third world countries rather than our own, because they reduced our interest rates and the banks therefore loaned to foreign countries. Now, that's something we've speculated about in the last week or 10 days on the program. And here's an article from Reuters, and it's entitled "Emerging Market Pain Dominates G20 Economy Talks." St. Petersburg, Russia. Emerging and developed G20 powers struggled to find common ground on Thursday over the turmoil unleashed by the prospect of the United States reducing a flood of dollars to the world economy. Third world nations are rattled that they aren't going to get as many. The flood of dollars to third world countries is going to be diminished. Now, where's this flood of dollars coming from? I wasn't aware that our government was spreading money to third world countries and emerging economies. That wasn't apparent to me, except in the context that the government's been giving trillions of dollars to Wall Street financial institutions with the supposed intent that they lend it to Americans to stimulate the U.S. economy. But instead, because the interest rates were low here in the United States, the banks said, no, let's lend it to foreign countries where interest rates are high. And the result is the foreign countries got the stimulus that was intended for us. And this, if this speculation is true, it cannot be unknown to our government. It can't be unknown to the banking system. Strong probability they've been doing it. And the reason we never got to that recovery is because much of the stimulus money, some considerable sum, I don't know how much, was going to foreign countries. And here we have a report, again, from Reuters that said, yeah, there's turmoil unleashed by the prospect of the United States reducing a flood of dollars to the world economy. That flood of dollars is supposed to be coming to you and me, the people in the United States of America, and apparently the emerging economies and G20, they know that much of it has been going to foreign countries. If the government stops stimulating, if it stops passing out $85 billion a month, it's going to hurt the foreign economies perhaps more than it hurts ours, because we haven't been getting it. Well, the implications are, you know, it's another one of those little stories that are, it's disturbing. It's at least evidence. It's not proof, but it's evidence, again, that the government is doing it to you. They're not here to help you. And it's sort of thing that it certainly makes me angry. It makes me upset. It makes me laugh. It makes me wince. Once again, government doing bad things to the American people. What else do we have, Molly?
Only this time, I mean, it's certainly going to affect world economies. I mean, even Putin said that, systemic risks, the conditions for an acute crisis relapse, it persists. So none of the problems have ever been solved. They haven't even been addressed, acknowledged.
Well, the other implication when Russian President Putin is saying that our task is returning global economy towards steady and balanced growth, and what we are talking about is that our government may have implemented programs that were ultimately intended to stimulate and support the global economy rather than the American economy. which would indicate that our government is more dedicated to doing what's best for the globalists than it is for Ma and Pa, who are running a little business here in the United States. It's better the more they're working for the globalists rather than the people who are unemployed, underemployed here in the United States. It's not encouraging. It's not inspiring. We'll talk more in a moment.
We'll
break for some commercial announcements.
It's I don't think it's for any government. It's all for the banks.
Well, whoever it's for, it's not. I guarantee
not
you who
for
the
us.
Debt's for.
Yeah.
The debt is for the American people.
Yep.
All right? The benefits are going someplace else.
Yep.
I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and Financial Survival. brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's a story. Here's a brief story from Peru. And this just cracks me up. This is from the Associated Press. And the headline is Peru, the global leader in dollar counterfeiting. And the story begins. Police colonel was stunned by the skill of a 13-year-old boy. Arrested during a raid on counterfeiters in Lima's gritty outskirts, how he deftly processed Federal Reserve notes, formerly counterfeit notes, and he had a great talent for it. But the boy demonstrated his technique for police after they arrested him on the street with a stack of $700,000 in false U.S. dollars and euros that he and his buddies had printed. Can you imagine a 13-year-old boy walking around with $700,000 in a bag? All right, but what really makes me laugh is down further in the story, they're talking about counterfeiting in Peru. And a top investigator noting that cocaine is another one of Peru's illegal exports. And he said counterfeiting dollars is much more profitable than cocaine. Huh? You can make more money counterfeiting pieces of paper than you can by selling cocaine. What this indicates, what this implies, is that Federal Reserve notes, the green pieces of paper in your pocket, the paper dollars, the fiat currency that we're all carrying around in our wallets, are essentially just another drug to which we and the world are addicted. Right? And counterfeiting is more profitable than growing and distributing illegal drugs like cocaine. I guarantee you, this is news to maybe you and me and Melody, but nobody in the Federal Reserve is surprised by this story. They've understood the money that can be made. You make these little green pieces of paper. They cost less than a nickel a piece. You can then lend them into circulation for full face value of the note. You get a $100 bill. It costs a nickel to make one of those pieces of paper, and you lend it into circulation for $100 worth of collateral. It is an extraordinary racket. And they're talking, and it's far more profitable than cocaine. Well, it makes me laugh. It makes me wince. And it's one of those stories that I just thought was too good to pass up. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, that's one thing the government doesn't like when you mess with their money. They can print as much as they want, but if anybody else should do it, whoa-wee, heaven forbid. And they certainly have used counterfeiting and money laundering as a way to enforce so many, and create, I should say, first and then enforce so many of these reporting requirements when it comes to cash and so forth, which is ridiculous. But
you know, I may have mentioned this, I don't know if I did or not, but I watch old movies once in a while on YouTube. And I was watching a Perry Mason TV show, Raymond Burr, from back in the 1960s, still in black and white and the rest of this sort of thing. And they had a box of money hidden under somebody's floor that someone squirreled away. And the box included $1,000 and $5,000 bills. I don't remember if it was bigger than that. But today, we only have these little $100 bills. These are $100 bills. They don't want to let you have anything bigger than that. All right, supposedly to protect us against the drug dealers. By controlling the amount of dollar, the size of our dollar bills, we've been able to reduce the rate of drug use in this country, which is just a colossal joke. The reality is they don't even want you to use paper currency. They want you to go to a pure digital currency based on debit cards, credit cards, who knows, maybe a chip implanted in your hand. But if it's purely digital, they can monitor and tax every transaction as they occur and even stop transactions from taking place. They want it as a means of control. It's not about controlling the drug dealers. It's about controlling you and me. And it was just interesting in my lifetime. We've gone from where you could walk around with perhaps a $5,000 bill in your wallet to where now the biggest bill you can get is $100. And after inflation, it's probably equivalent to about a $5 bill as compared to 1968, 1970 in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, they've also forced for Social Security payments and everything. People had to open up bank accounts. You can have all this direct deposits. People used to get a paper check or the bank get cash, you know, deposit some so they could write checks. Now it's all depositive and they receive a card. Same way even with food stamps. They receive a card that looks like a credit card.
Yep.
You know, they'll say it makes people feel better, not so much how could I say this politely?
It's comfortable. It's convenient. But very few people understand the consequences.
What's it?
You are now controlled in a way that you might live to regret.
You
accept that kind of currency. There's always a third party in every transaction, and that third party is the government. And if the government doesn't want you to make a transaction with a particular person or doesn't want you to make any transactions before this is done, they're going to be able to just shut your card off. And where are you going to go? It is a mechanism for control, and it's going to be onerous for many of the American people. It's not going to be fun. In the end, it will work against us, and we are persuaded that these pieces of plastic are convenient today, but they are not just convenient to you and me. They are also convenient to people in government who would control us. They are convenient in the same sense that a worm on a hook is convenient for a fish in the water. Fish says, oh, look at that worm just hanging there on that hook. I think I'll eat that worm. That's going to be easy for me. Yeah, well, watch and see. You're going to get hooked by this convenience.
And, you know, it's oftentimes presented in ways that seem harmless, innocent. Your grocery store cards that keeps track of what you buy, you get discounts and so forth. Well, hey, isn't that discrimination? I don't carry one of those cards. How come I can't get the discounts that other people get just because I don't have one of those cards? It's all for marketing. They convince folks it's just for marketing. You can get discounts. We'll give you free turkeys at Thanksgiving. And now you're right. It's all about control. There was a survey done. Not very many people, almost 800 folks. Americans are concerned about internet privacy, but they're far less worried about government snooping than they are about their online activity being monitored by hackers and advertisers. 86% of the respondents said they had taken steps to remove or mask their digital footprints. They are more concerned about hackers than having the government snoop on them. Now, you know, and then you say, well, I don't do anything wrong, so if they want to snoop, let them snoop. And that's really not how we should look at it. I mean, I don't do anything wrong, but yet I don't
not
want
so far.
Anyone.
Not so far. But the way the government is operating, there's things that you are doing today that could become illegal a year from now, 5 years from now. And that's true for all of us. And it's part of the reason why government regulation, again, we've harped on it on the program, according to a couple of economists, if government regulations were the same level we had in 1945, our median household income would be over $300,000 a year instead of what it is, $53,000. All of these increased laws, all of these increased regulations are making things illegal today that were legal back when I was a kid. All right? And the result is you don't know. Once you allow government to start snooping into your affairs, you don't know what government is going to declare to be illegal a year from now or 5 years from now. But if the government's already there snooping in your affairs as soon as they pass another law, guess what? You're in deep trouble. It's part of the reason why you don't want government to be able to snoop on the American people, because it empowers them to pass laws that give them more control, more power, put us deeper, deprive us of more and more of our rights, more and more of our prosperity. And what are you going to do about it once you've fully assimilated into this convenient system of digital currency and plastic monetary devices? How are you going to get away from it? How are you going to avoid it? What are you going to do? It's dangerous stuff, and it's ultimately built on the presumption that we can trust the government. And again, fundamental genius of the American Constitution is that it never trusted the government. The founding fathers did something extraordinary in this country that no other nation has ever done. They tried to give us a constitution that was essentially an anti-government document. The reason for freedom of the press, the reason for freedom of religion, the reason for freedom of association, the reason for the right to freedom of speech, the reason for the right to keep and bear arms, the reason for the 10 amendments that comprise our Bill of Rights, was to protect us against our own federal government. And this is absolutely apparent in the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Very few people have seen it, very few people have read it and understood it, but it expressly declares that the purpose of the first 10 amendments was to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. The only people that have powers under the Constitution are the people who comprise the federal government. You and I don't have powers under the Constitution. We may have rights, but that's not the same as powers. The powers are only for the officers, agents, employees of the federal government. They have powers. First 10 amendments were to protect the people of the states against the government from misconstruing or abusing the powers granted under the Constitution. That's not theory. That's exactly what it says in the preamble to the Bill of Rights. And you can look it up on Google. You can find it for yourself, and you'll see. My point is that the founders did something extraordinary. They tried to protect us against government. They didn't trust government. But we have been encouraged to believe that the government is here to help us. We have fallen into that trap. And the net result is we are becoming increasingly impoverished. We are suffering a loss of rights on a regular basis. We are fast sliding into a police state, an overt police state. We've been working on a police state for some time, but it's becoming obvious, open, and overt. We're sliding into it, and we're going there because we were dumb enough, and many of us remain dumb enough, ignorant enough, to believe that you can trust the government. Truth of the matter is, you can't trust any government. It's not just our government. It is the nature of government everywhere to exploit their own people. It's always been true. There is little moral difference between the Bloods, who control a section of territory of L.A., and the Crips, who control another section of the territory of L.A., and the federal government, which controls another section of the territory of L.A. There's little moral difference. They're there to get the money. And they'll get it by hook or by crook. And the easiest way for them to get it is to persuade you and me and the rest of the American people to believe that they are here to help us. They're here to help themselves and at our expense. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. And the only chance you have to resist the exploitation and even extortion that takes place in the name of government is you have to stand up and insist that we remain independent, that we not depend on the government for subsidies, for welfare, and that we stand up for freedom. Got to do it. And it means you got to go it alone to some degree. You can't wait for a government handout. You'll live better. You'll live better. The whole nation is better off. But we've been seduced into believing otherwise, and we're going to pay a price for that.
And this is why it's so important when it comes to your finances. That, yeah, I'm going to bring it back to gold. It's why once you own your gold, you really are your own banker. You put it away, and you have your finances. It gives you a degree of independence. And that's why it's so important. It protects you. It protects your other investments. It's your insurance policy, your home insurance. Yes, we could talk about 5,000 gold. That might get a lot more people more excited. Oh, my God, 5,000 gold. It's only $1,300 now. You know, maybe that's what it takes for people to wake up and to say, yes, I need some gold. Maybe it is the increase. Chase that yield. Chase that gain. But the true fundamentals of gold, it's the only true store of value. There's no claim of debt against it.
And another fundamental of gold is that it's not immediately subject to easy confiscation by the government. Right? It's one of these things. It's protection against government abuse. But one of the other things, we're out of time, folks, so we've got to move on. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.